Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Today I want to preach for a very short time a message that I have entitled, The Power of Oneness. Someone say, The Power of Oneness. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and they shall be one flesh. They shall be one flesh. Hallelujah. Now, that word one that is used in the scripture talks about being in agreement. It talks about unity. And it talks about harmony. Hallelujah. So, every goal of every marriage is that both the man and woman eventually become united, become one. Hallelujah. You'll be very surprised that there are people who have been married for years, but till today they don't know each other. Some years ago, a married couple came to our church and they were having problems. And when I started counseling them, to my shock, I found out that this guy doesn't know his wife. And this woman doesn't know the man he has married. Do you understand? Many people are living together and they've been living together for years, but they are not one. They are not in agreement. They are not in harmony. Some houses, it's like a Kung Fu Chinese film. You don't know whether it's people who love each other or it's people practicing for karate in the house. One time I went to visit a couple. When I got by the door, I was hearing, ah! 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 And I said, no, it's not time for me to come into this house yet. And I walked around and walked around. After things had cooled down, I went into the house and it was hot. You can see it was not a happy family. Hallelujah. So all of us are striving to have that unity in marriage, to have that harmony in marriage. Hallelujah. Now, when a man and a woman become one, there is power that is released in that oneness. In fact, in scripture, whenever men, human beings, become one, stand in agreement, work together, there's always an outpouring of power. Are you listening to me? In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us that two are better than one. So the fact that now you have married, according to the scripture, you have been promoted. Because two is better than one. Hallelujah. So can you see the oneness? Already there's a promotion. Just for the fact that you've taken the decision to come together and become one. Hallelujah. The Bible also tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 30. It says that one shall chase 1,000. And according to logic, two should chase 2,000, isn't it? But the Bible says two will chase 10,000. If you are alone, you can defeat 1,000 enemies. But if you are in agreement and in harmony with somebody else, the power is multiplied. Instead of chasing 2,000, you are now able to chase 10,000 away. Someone said the power of oneness. Also, when two people have come together to become one, their prayers become more powerful. Are you listening to me? In the book of Matthew chapter 18 verse 19, the Bible tells us that when two of you shall agree touching anything on the earth, it shall be done of you. Now, when you read the scriptures, whenever Jesus says it shall be done for you, he always says, I will do it for you. But in this particular scripture, He says that when two come together and agree, he says, it shall be done for you of my Father. In other words, God the Father himself is the one who will take action when two become one. So your prayers immediately become way more powerful than when you are on your own. Are you listening to me? And then when two become one, you start to live in a realm of possibilities. In other words, all things are possible. In the book of Genesis, chapter 11 from verse 1, the Bible tells us that every human being who lived on the earth in those days all spoke the same language. Are you listening to me? And I believe in verse 4, they said, they agreed and they said, we are going to make a city. And that city is going to have a tower. And we want that tower to reach the top. The top of that tower must reach heaven. Are you listening to me? Now, because they were speaking the same language, they were in harmony. They were in agreement. Now, people who are in harmony and in agreement, look at how they think. Now, imagine a building that can reach the heavens. Have you seen a building that can reach heaven? The highest building I know here in South Africa is the Reserve Bank. Next to the Reserve Bank, there's the Absa building. I don't know if you know them in Pretoria. Apparently, they were in competition to see who can build the tallest building. And I can't remember who won, whether the Reserve Bank or the Absa building. Those are high buildings. But I've never seen a man who wants to build a building that reaches the heaven. Heaven here is the clouds. I mean, that high. So because these people were one and united and were in harmony, anything was possible to them. They felt that they could build a building that can reach heaven if they wanted to. The power of oneness. Someone say the power of oneness. Hallelujah. So, how do we become one in the context of marriage? How do we become one? Number one, you have to understand that oneness is not automatic. Oneness is not automatic, but it is a journey. Someone say it's a journey. Now, what does that mean? Normally in church circles, when people get married, we say they are one. But the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, and they shall. Someone say shall. Shall mean, the word shall means it's something that's going to happen in the future. And they shall become one. It doesn't mean that now the two of them have married and now they are one. According to scripture, scripture says they shall. It means that today they have started a journey where they shall become one. It's not a one event thing and suddenly they are one. It's a process. They shall become one. They shall. They shall. It's going to happen in the future. Hallelujah. So first and foremost, you must know that it's not automatic. It takes work for a couple to become one, to be in agreement, to be in harmony. Hallelujah. That's why we see divorce. Two people, they feel goose pimples. Ooh, I love him. Ooh, look at his six packs. And then they decide that we are going to marry. But they don't understand that it's a process to become one. So as they stay in marriage, they don't put any work to become one. And they rather drift apart as the marriage continues. Are you listening to me? So there is work that still needs to continue even though you have married today. It's not automatic. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say it's not automatic. Even though I'm preaching for Mukhadi and Given, but I'm preaching for every married or future couple who will marry in future. Hallelujah. So first and foremost, know that it's a journey. It's a process. Hallelujah. Secondly, nakedness is very important. The Bible says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Hallelujah. Now this nakedness here, I'm not talking about them being literally naked physically, but I'm talking about honesty and truth is very important in marriage. The more you are honest to each other, the more you are truthful to each other, it breeds oneness. It contributes in your harmony, on you becoming one, a harmonious couple. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody say nakedness. Yeah. There are some people, their phone is private property. Don't touch. You see, that behavior, it doesn't breed trust. How can you trust someone whose phone I can't even touch? When the phone rings, if they are in one side of the house, they will run like there's no tomorrow. No one must touch the phone. You know, every story I tell you is true. I once heard of a couple, and the husband had two phones. The one phone everybody knew, but the other phone lived in the sock and was always on vibrate. There's no ringtone, only vibrate. And when it is charged in the garage, you know, behind boxes. Now, your guess is as good as mine what that phone was for. But you can see that when there's no honesty, when you are not truthful to each other, you can never become one. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I was getting married, you know, when you are getting married, everyone wants to give you advice. Everyone, even people who are not married. I don't know what advice they are giving, but everyone wants to give advice. And one guy said to me, my friend, you must never tell a woman everything. Tell her some things. And I'm a man of the spirit. And when I listened to the voice of God in my heart, I said, no, I will tell her everything. As I go into this union with her, she must know who I am. She must know where I am going. She must know everything about me. And she did the same and told me everything about her. So as we walk in our union, I am not afraid at all. If she calls me and she says, I'm coming back home at 12 a.m. I don't say, why? Who are you with? Who are those people laughing there? I just say, okay, please be safe, okay? Because we trust each other. Hallelujah. Trust is very important when it comes to being one. And what I've learned about trust is that as a married couple, you have to sow seeds of trust. Trust is not automatic. You have to earn it. Do you understand? If you'll be moving around, don't come back home, and you're just behaving like that, you cannot be trusted. When I got married, I used to, before I leave the house, I'll tell my wife, I'm going there. After that, I'm going there. I think I'll be home around 2 o'clock. I didn't need to do it. But I knew that by doing that, I'm sowing seeds of trust. And indeed, at 2, I'll be back home. And if I'm not going to be able to be back home at 2, I'll call her. I say, look, this and this happened. So I'll be back home about an hour later. So the more I did that, what I started noticing is that she started doing that to me as well. When she was leaving, she'll say that, okay, I'm going there, I'll be back home around this time. And if she's noticing that she's going to be late, she'll give me a call and say, it looks like I won't be able to make it at the time I said. I'll be home, I think, an hour later. But you see, as you sow these seeds of trust, every time you have the opportunity to sow seeds of trust, make sure that you do. Because when somebody comes and say, hey, Mukhari, you won't believe where I saw given. Woo! You will say, never. It's not possible because I know him. Because you trust him. Are you listening to me? Because he's been sowing seeds of trust. And you know that my given cannot do that. My Mukhari cannot do that. Hallelujah. So nakedness is very important for oneness. You know, if you don't reach oneness in your marriage, you will never be promoted, as I explained. You will never defeat 10,000 enemies. Your prayer life will never be as powerful as it potentially can be. And you will not live in the realm of possibilities. So for that power to be released, it's very important that you become one. You become one thing. Hallelujah. So number one, I said that you have to understand it's not automatic, it's a process. And number two, nakedness is a very important ingredient for this oneness that we are talking about. In John chapter 8 verse 31, the Bible tells us that, and the truth shall set us free. So when there is truth in your marriage, there will be freedom. No one will feel that they are oppressed. One day a lady came to our church and said, Pastor, I have a problem. And I said, Sister, what's your problem? She said, everywhere I go, my husband is there. I said, but this is not a problem. Isn't it a good thing? Where do you want him to be? And he said, Pastor, can't you anadi chomi? Why is anadi chomi tahai? And I looked at this woman. I said, she doesn't know what she wants. Hallelujah. So some people feel oppressed in their marriage. And one of the reasons why people feel oppressed is because there's no truth. There's no honesty. Are you listening to me? So nakedness is very, very important. Number three, you must speak the same language. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 11, from verse 1 to 7, the Bible tells us that the people were speaking the same language. Are you listening to me? Now, here speaking the same language, I don't mean that both of you must be Pedi, or both of you must be Ndebele, or both of you must be Tsonga. But what I mean is that, first and foremost, you must have the same belief system. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. In other words, as a Christian, you mustn't marry a non-Christian. You are a Christian, you've married a Sangom, or you're a Christian, you've married a what? A Muslim. Do you understand? This is very important. Because if you don't have the same belief system, somewhere your oneness will be broken. When the children are having problems, they can't sleep at night, one is saying, let's pray. The other one is saying, let's take him to whoever. Already there's a split. Can you see? So, same language means same belief system. Do you understand? In the house of God, we pay tithes. So if one is a Christian, a tithe-paying Christian, and the other one is believing in something else, when you want to pay tithes, it's suddenly fightings in the house. Why are you taking our money to that church? We need that money. But you know, you believe in what you are doing, but the other person doesn't believe. So there needs to be a speaking of the same language where your faith is concerned. Are you listening to me? There also needs to be speaking of the same language where your visions of your future are concerned in terms of raising your children. Are you still here? In terms of how you spend your money, some people, when they get paid, it's like everyone knows that, yeah, What do they call it? Mureki. Is it Mureki? Yeah. Yeah? Am I saying it right? Mureki. When someone gets paid money, the person is Mureki, calls his friends, calls her friends, they are braying and hey! And when it's time now to come and do things at home, the money has been wasted. So you have to speak the same language in terms of finances. You have to speak the same language in terms of raising your children. Amen. I listen to me. You have to speak the same language in terms of future. A lot of young people, when they get married or when they fall in love, they are looking at six-pack. They are looking at, hey, that one. And they are not thinking about their future. Only to find that you are a very motivated person. You are very ambitious in life. You want to make it far. And the person that you've fallen in love with, whether unago mafia or unago Silver Lakes or unago 609. So for oneness, you have to, you know, communicate. Speak the same language. Where are we going? What are our plans? And you'll be very surprised. Some people have been married for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. They never talk their future. What are we going to do? What is our goal? What are we building with our lives? So you have to speak that language. One day I was sitting at home and the Holy Spirit said to me, ask your wife what her future is. And I said to her, what's your future? What do you desire to see God doing? And it was amazing. So she also asked me, what do you want to see? And we started having a conversation. And I felt that I got to know her better. And she got to know me better. Do you understand? So you have to speak the same language. And some of these things that I'm mentioning are very important that you guys converse about. And also you must have the same joy. Someone say, same joy. For some people, sitting at home together as a family, having a nice meal, I tell you, is the best. But for some people, it's like, they want to, you know, they want friends around. And sometimes that thing can cause contention in marriage. So you must learn to enjoy the same things. Am I talking to somebody? So you must speak the same language in terms of what is fun for you guys, what is joyful for you guys, and what makes you happy. Are you listening to me? And finally, as I close today, number four, you have to honor and reverence and respect biblical truths. The Bible must be a foundation of your marriage. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. God is wiser than the wisest. In fact, the Bible says, if you can take all the wisest people in the world, all of them, put them together in one room, and God comes and he doesn't use his wisdom, he uses his foolishness, he'll be wiser than all the wisest people in the world. So we are better off living according to the wisdom that God has given us in his word. Hallelujah. And this is the wisdom that I want to give you today, and then I close. I read from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 3. The Bible says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she was shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her head, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the image of and glory of the man. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture that we just read, it says some very important things. It says that the head of the man is Christ. What that means is that when it's talking about men here, it's talking about a husband, a married man. In the context of marriage, the head of the man is Christ. Are you listening to me? In other words, Christ is in charge of that guy. And the Bible continues to say that the head of the woman is the man. I know in today's society, you know, this is not it's not woke, okay? But the Bible says the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Are you listening to me, somebody? Now, the Bible says that there are certain things that if the man does, brings dishonor to his head. And the head here is Christ. And there are certain things that if the woman does, brings dishonor to her head. And the head here being the man. Are you listening to me? And what the portion that I really like, it says that the man is the image and the glory of God, and the woman is the image and the glory of the man. Hallelujah. So there's some truths here that I want you to be aware of, which are very important. First and foremost, in the context of marriage, a man given, you are obligated to the Lord Jesus Christ to do well. If you do not do well as a husband, if you do not do well as a father, if you do not do well in life generally, you are dishonoring your head. And your head here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the same context, you are obligated to your husband to do well. If you don't do well, then you are bringing dishonor to your husband. Are you listening to me? Very important. So the obligation for the man is to Christ, and the obligation for the woman is to her husband. Are you listening to me? Now, when the woman does well, when she looks beautiful, like Mohadi looks beautiful today, the husband gets the glory. Are you listening to me? A lot of men don't understand the truth. There are some men who don't want their wives to be educated. They don't want their wives to do well in life. They don't want their wives to have a career. What they don't understand is that the more she does well, she's bringing glory to you. Oh, the amens are not blessing me. The more your wife does well, the more she brings glory to you. The more beautiful your wife is, the more she brings glory to you. One day I went to visit a friend of mine, and he used to live in a flat in town. So as I was going towards, you know, where he was staying, I passed some cameras. I saw some cameras in the passage. So I passed and went into his house, and we had fellowship. When I came out, I noticed these cameras again. So I asked him, I said, "Sir, what are these cameras for here?" Before he told me, he laughed. And I knew that what is coming is very serious. He said, "The couple that lives in this house, the husband works and the wife doesn't work. So these cameras are for the wife. Because the wife can only leave the house at 2 to fetch the children. And then she must be back if it takes an hour to fetch the children, by 3, the cameras are watching that. At 3 o'clock, she's back. If she leaves before 2 o'clock, hey, when he comes back home, zizobuya. If he comes back after an hour. So you see that this woman is in prison in this relationship. Can you see? And so some men, they imprison their wives like that. And you are dishonoring yourself when you live like that. Your wife is your glory. The more she does well, the more glory comes back to you. Can I hear an amen from the sisters? Amen. Sisters, can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. One time my wife went to a meeting of pastors' wives. Pastors' wives, do you hear what I'm saying? And I was surprised at the things that the women were complaining about. Women who are married to pastors. And the one woman was saying, my husband doesn't want me to be educated. My husband doesn't want me to go to school. I can't believe it. People don't understand that the more your wife does well, the more she brings glory to you. Hallelujah. So stop oppressing her. Encourage her. Encourage her to do well spiritually. Encourage her to do well in her career. Encourage her to do well in her education. Encourage her to be a good mother. Encourage her to be the best version of herself. The more you do that, you are building on the oneness. And for the woman, what I've learned from scripture is that your husband will be his best when he is close to Jesus. So as a wife, learn to encourage your husband to be close to the Lord. I didn't say force. Hey, tomorrow I love Bible. No, encourage. Encourage. Hallelujah. Tell a neighbor, say encourage. I've noted that the more the man is closer to his creator, it is the more he becomes his best version. If you think that your life partner is the best, wait until he comes close to Jesus. You haven't seen anything yet. His true self is hidden until he meets Jesus. When he meets Jesus, the gifts that are in him, the blessings that are in him, they will start manifesting. Then you will say, my God, thank you for giving me such a powerful husband. But many women, you know, in church, there's always more women than men. Many women leave their husbands at home. You say, and the guy is watching soccer or doing useless things. Encourage him nicely. Sometimes it may take months. Sometimes it may take years. Don't give up. The best version of your husband is in Christ. Because he is the image and the glory of God. Stop fighting him. Oh, you don't love me. Why do I? Just push him towards Jesus. When you push him towards Jesus, he will love you more than he's ever loved you. Amen. I listen to me. Amen. So this is the mystery in the scripture that we've just read. The head of the man is Christ. It's Bible, black and white. The head of the woman is the man. The glory and the image of God is in the man. The glory and the image of the husband, sorry, of the woman is towards the man. So the more the woman does well, he receives the glory. And the more he goes closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes the best version of himself. Are you listening to me? If you thought that you are doing well, if you thought that you are impressed with yourself in anything in your life, wait until you come close to Jesus. Your true self is yet to be revealed. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. So I encourage you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that as you have gotten married today, understand that it's a new journey that you are in. And it is the journey of becoming one. It is the same as someone who gets born again. When you get born again, you become a child of God, but you are not one with God. Being one with God is a process. You have to walk with Him. He has to teach you His principles, His concepts, His word. And as you continue walking with Him, you start to be like Him. And eventually you become one with Him. So marriage is the same concept. You are two different people. You've decided you love each other. And today is your wedding day. But this is where the journey really begins, where you will become one with each other. And I've given you some important tips that if you do, it will accelerate your oneness. Hallelujah. And in oneness, in harmony, in unity, there is power. There is power. There is power. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.